Hello and welcome to episode 284 of the Tyler Stem Podcast. Usually these shows after the calendar year starts means we have quite a few games to review, but alas, here we are with Reading FC, just the one game to recap after the Christmas period saw three games taken away from us. The West Brom game turned out to be the last game of 2021. Luton, Peterborough and Fulham all biting the dust in these COVID times, and we just have a 2-2 draw against Derby to discuss. I'm your host, Mark Mayer. This is episode 284 of the Tyler Stem Podcast, as I say, podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans. Alan West, Westy, joins me this week to discuss what's gone on, and it's, well, what an interesting Christmas period it's been.
Yeah, very interesting. In a lack of games, we didn't foresee, but we did get a game yesterday, and it was exciting, if nothing else.
It was, and we'll get into it into a second, but yeah, Reading with that 2-2 draw against Derby, just a situation really that I suppose every Reading fan dreaded coming back to the Select Car Leasing Stadium on the TV as well for people to watch on Sky Sports, and a game that sadly had that late sucker punch going against Reading, as so many have this year. Before we get into the recap, a quick thanks as always to ZCZ Films, our sponsor, and our Patreon subscribers, and also a couple of quick nudges for you towards the survey that's currently up on the Tyler Stem website, just for you to kind of go through and share your thoughts on how the club is doing at the moment, how the, you know, fan, everything about the club really at the moment, to let us know your thoughts on the state of Reading FC. That's currently on the Tyler Stem website, as is the fanzine for the 150th anniversary of the club. The game that was meant to signify this did get sadly postponed, so that's not happening until February, but with Reading FC 150 years old this year, or in 2021 I guess, we have produced quite a lengthy fanzine, loads to get your teeth into on that. That's up on the website, definitely give that a check out. So while you're doing that, let's go into the recap.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Westy, let's go through the COVID situation first, just so everyone kind of knows what went on after in the last few weeks. The story kind of starts in Manchester, unusually, because there was supposedly a team party after the West Brom game, Christmas party, if you will. Ultimately, the Luton, Peterborough and Fulham games all lost due to a COVID outbreak that hit both the first team and the under-23s. There was a fair few fans on Twitter who were unhappy about there being a Christmas party. Obviously, we don't, you know, we never truly know what causes these outbreaks, and I think a kind of second wave ultimately hit the team as well. But what are your kind of thoughts on the fact that we did kind of miss the Christmas games? Was it actually good for the team as well? Because Lord knows we haven't got many players left.
It's kind of interesting because I think when we played West Brom, they had a COVID outbreak, didn't they? And then obviously our games were cancelled after that, as you already alluded to. I see this thing about the Manchester night out, and that nobody recognised the Reading fans Reading players apart from Andy Carroll, which was quite amusing. Have I got an issue with them going on a Christmas party? No, I don't think so. I think Leicester players had a similar problem. It was all over Twitter this week. They went to the darts, yet they cancelled games. I think it's more of the lunacy of the rules at the moment. It's like yesterday, I walked in the Jazz Cafe. It was packed, no mask on. And then when I go into a stadium that's outside, I have to show my COVID passport. It's just random. They're entitled to a Christmas party. I'm sure a lot of the people that went to the game yesterday went to their own Christmas parties. So I don't think there's an issue with that. I see Gareth McCleary tweeted as well, something along the same lines. We're still at work. We still deserve to have the same rights everyone else does. And I totally agree with him, to be honest. To be honest with you, it wasn't until I see Gareth McCleary's post this week that I thought, actually, he's right. I mean, we can sit here and have a go because they haven't played over Christmas. But I think actually it's probably helped us because, let's face it, even yesterday, there was still a number of first-team players not in that side, not sat on the bench. We had a young bench again. It was nice to see Aruna back, but we had a young bench. And I think really Reading played it quite cool here, because when we do have a fixture pile-up coming, hopefully some of our more established first-team players will be fit and ready to play in them. And if anything, it will help us. I'm not saying they did it on purpose, but I think in the long run, it might actually benefit us. I don't know about your thoughts, Mark.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of, because, obviously a lot of games have been called off over the last few weeks, and a lot of people have said, oh, you know, injuries counting towards it and all sorts of stuff, and teams not playing, ultimately benefiting from it. Reminds me of back in yonder days when Reading were last in the Premier League, had a game against Sunderland postponed, an away game, quite a crucial relegation kind of battle game. And we replayed it and lost 3-0, and that was basically the game that kind of death-nailed us to get relegated, I seem to remember. And perhaps that wouldn't have been the case had it been played at the time, and that's how football, you know, works out sometimes. You don't always control your circumstances. And, yeah, I mean, I had a look. Like, there were about 600 cases of Omicron confirmed across the entire country on the night of that party. The players, they weren't even old enough to book a booster jab on the day of the party, so I don't have any particular residual anger about it. You know, it's disappointing there aren't games going on, but ultimately, I mean, it's just how things are. You have to be flexible this sort of time, and, you know, hopefully everything will pan out for the best for Reading, because, yes, this starting 11 yesterday, beset by injuries still, Moore and Yeardon particular not playing, Ashcroft in at right back. Derby really targeted him in the first half. All their moves were coming down the left, and Reading, ultimately, in the first half, didn't look too bad. It was kind of 10 minutes for Reading, 10 minutes for Derby. Neither team really looked that able to come out on the counter-attack early on, did it? And balls into the box were absolutely a threat. Andy Carroll seeing a header saved, which we couldn't turn the rebound in, before Junior Hoylett popped up with a bit of a worldy first goal. And that first half, there weren't certainly no alarm bells ringing, but it was just, at the time, it just felt like a pretty good standard Championship performance.
Yeah, and again, we talk about it all the time, don't we? It's a Championship game all over. Either team could have gone in leading. It happened to be us. But it could have gone either way. And I thought probably Derby were good value for the draw in the end, unfortunately. But Reading, I think a lot of fans have said and complained about negative tactics and Paunovic's consistent putting everyone behind the ball and us getting end up drawing. I think that's a third two goal lead we've chucked away at home this season, and it's no coincidence that it keeps happening. I mean, I had a guy come down, my boys were down, they live in Plimpton in Plymouth, and they come down to watch the Reading game and brought their friends with them, and he's a Plymouth fan, and he came for the game and he says, oh, he was enjoying it at 2-0, and he said, oh, this is good, isn't it? I said, you wait and see what happens. I think we all knew it. I said, last 10-15 minutes we'll be hanging on by our skin of our teeth, and that's exactly how it panned out, unfortunately. But it keeps happening, doesn't it? So it's no coincidence. Derby went for the jugular. I knew they'd be a dangerous side to play because they've got nothing to lose, have they? I mean, literally, they're a long way. They've taken a lot of points off them, and Derby just know that every game they've got to go out and win it. And it's great for the manager because tactics-wise, you know that they're going to come and attack you because what else are they going to do? Exactly what they've done. You said they targeted areas. I just think they tried to, especially when they got around the goalkeeper and Selfwood making a mistake in the end. Every corner, every cross, they was around the goalkeeper. They reminded me a little bit of, I don't know if you see the Liverpool-West Ham game a few weeks back, where West Ham, every corner, they was around the goalkeeper, stopped him coming out, made our life difficult. I thought, to be fair, we defended quite well. I thought Holmes had a decent game. I thought Andy Carroll defended really well. Every time the ball went up to him, he won his header. You obviously need to play off of that. Junior Hoylett, like I said, two good goals. I mean, the first goal was brilliant. Again, that come from a direct ball that Andy Carroll flicked on. And you think with the players that Reading have got at the moment, even the second goal, really, Holmes, he rose above their defenders to get the header back across. We've got a big side, so you really need to play to that strength. I mean, it's nice playing nice football, but let's face it, with the sort of size players we've got nowadays, you really need to get it forward to them quickly and play off them, because any ball over the top, Andy Carroll's not going to get, but you know that he's going to win the header, so you need to get around him. I thought, like you said, in the first half, it was a bitty sort of first half. Could have gone either way. We went in leading, which was great. But second half, again, was it negative, or was it we were just pushed back? It's hard to tell. But with the fact that we've lost quite a few home games now, or at least drawn them and chucked away goals, it's becoming all too familiar.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? You know, as I say, that. The threat of the balls into the box was, you know, I really commended the Reading. Actually, against West Brom, we didn't really know what to... We couldn't make the most of it. But against derby, it felt like we were. And that was actually the first time in almost a decade that Junior Hoylett scored twice in a league game, which, you know, I think we have to commend him for doing that, because he's not played much football recently. I think that was his first start in months, basically. But for the collapse, there was one telling moment you said about Andy Cowell. I noticed that he was dropping back quite a lot, wasn't he, in the late the late sort of minutes of the game. There was one time he came into the D, and I don't exactly know where the central midfielders were, but you could see him shaking his head at the lack of support after he was the one who came back to get it. And this is the thing when it comes to where does this late collapse come from? Because, as you know, we've had it plenty of times before. Was the Blackpool one because of tiredness? No, I don't think you can really claim that. So saying yesterday's one because of a lack of fitness, it's difficult. The players clearly looked knackered. They've obviously not played much in the last few weeks. And I don't know, where does it come from? Because obviously the Southwood error, that's the first goal, fair enough. We know what that is. But was it the players lacking kind of focus or determination? Is it Paunovic's game plan? It really did annoy me, actually, that while we did look dead on our feet, as soon as we went to 2-2, we suddenly looked, we kept the ball a little bit, and we suddenly could knock it round the, you know, keep the ball, knock it round the corner, keep possession for a little bit. And that annoyed me, because why couldn't we do that for the entire half hour beforehand?
Do you know what upset me more than anything is when we had opportunities to break, the decision making was shocking on many occasions, wasn't it? I mean, when we had, like, we'd run out with a ball, when you think, well, okay, just play a little quick ball. I think I'm going to point him out. And again, people might not agree with me, but certainly from what I see yesterday, I thought he had a shocking game, and that was Swift. I thought he was absolutely dreadful for the whole match. His first touch was poor. Every time he got the ball, he slowed the game down too much when we had opportunities to break. He gave it away a lot. I don't think he made a tackle the whole game. And I was on Twitter last night, and I think someone said, oh, I don't know why they took John Swift off. I thought, I don't know why he stayed on as long as he did, because he was offering absolutely nothing. Now, whether that's to do with the fact he hasn't been well or he's not fully fit, I'm not going to condemn him because he's had a good season so far. But he was particularly poor, I thought, yesterday. And that really cost us, because you know how important John Swift can be to the side. And if he has a bad game, it just stopped us getting out of defence where he had opportunities to. And I think if we'd had a better player or someone playing a lot better who could hold the ball, and even if they could run with it and make sort of dynamic runs, it'd have been easy for us to get out of defence. But because Swift was having such a poor game, I think that really aided to the fact that we struggled to break out, especially in the second half. Andy Carroll was one player. I see him playing left back. He went into the left back position to go and get the ball. But that's not where you want him, is it? You don't want him making them runs back, but you need him to be the fulcrum so you can give the ball to him and play off of him. And so when he goes missing, and especially with Swift playing so poorly, that certainly doesn't help. I just think it was disappointing again. I was more upset, and I know you're going to play Paunovic's interview in a minute, but I was more upset with the excuses. AD Williams touched upon it, and I agreed with him. If we'd have played as many games as they have over the Christmas period, we'd have been saying, oh, the players are tired. We've had a rest. We've had a break. They haven't trained properly, and some of them come back from injury. But they didn't look. It wasn't that they looked tired to me. It was just the decision making was poor, and it was like backs to the wall. And the thing is, we all knew it was coming. I don't think there's a fan who goes regularly and watches Reading that didn't think, "Oh, 2-0 up, this is comfortable." Because I never feel it with Reading under Paunovic, and that's been the way it has been for a good, 12 months. They never look comfortable, even leading the game when they should be, because Derby weren't a great side, were they? They were good at what they'd done. And like I said, they weren't scared of attacking because they've got nothing to lose. But they didn't really hurt us, especially in the first half. But even in the second half, Southwood made a couple of good saves, but it wasn't overworked, I didn't think. The goal came from a mistake. But it's just disappointing, the excuses afterwards. And if the excuse is that the players needed more match time, then you've got the perfect opportunity on Saturday to play the players that haven't been playing, give them a good run out, and be ready for Wednesday night. But as soon as he was confronted with that by Della, he started backtracking, saying, well, we need to manage our games. Well, you're telling us one thing and then you're going to do another. Because as far as I'm concerned, when you play Kidderminster on Saturday, I expect to see a very strong side to go out there, get a win under your belts, and get some confidence back and some minutes in the legs. If you don't do that, and let's face it, this is a banana skin game, because Kidderminster are going to be well up for it. It's going to be a full crowd. And you don't want to get beat in them sort of games, because it certainly doesn't help you with your league performances. And as we know from when McDermott was here, when he had a good cut run, it helped us in the league and actually it boosted us on. So if you go and get beat by Kidderminster, I think you're looking at the sack, as simple as that.
Well, this is where the final part of the recap was going to go, is that obviously now let's be honest, for a few months almost, there's been a kind of brewing. If social media is a very difficult place to really understand what fans think, there's, 15,000 fans in the Mad Stad every week. I think only, about a third of those are on Twitter, and probably about less than half of that are active on Twitter. So it's hard to really take social media as a proper zeitgeist for the fans. But obviously for the last few weeks, there's been a kind of in out kind of not even quite a debate, but just a vibe going on. And at the moment, I still think that ultimately you stick with Paunovic. There is a sense, I think, from those who want Paunovic out, the Paunovic in crowd are kind of guilty of a lack of ambition or being defeatist, because maybe people who want Paunovic to stay feel there isn't better out there, or that it's the grass isn't always greener, which I would probably agree with for the moment, but that's because we don't really know we have no idea what sort of manager or where they would get a manager from to replace Paunovic. But really, I mean, you're saying for the Kidderminster game, I do think as well that if he was to really mess that one up, it'd be really difficult to see why the club would bother sticking with him.
No, it's a no-win game for Reading, really, because let's face it, everyone expects Reading to go there and beat them. It's just the excuse-making machine that's coming out recently. Do you know what I mean? You think, well, you said that we haven't got time in our legs on the pitch because people come back from injury and COVID and whatnot, and we're not the only club that's suffered with this. You can't say Kidderminster have got better facilities and more players than we have to go to. So you can't say that for starters. And you certainly can't say you need more time in legs and then say, actually, I'm not going to play a strong side on Saturday. You know, he might well do. I'm just playing devil's advocate, but he might well do. He might put a strong side out and go, we're going to win the game. And I hope that's what we do. But like I say, it's a no win for Reading, because if they go and get beat, then it's Paunovic's fault. If they scrape a win, it's going to be Paunovic's fault. And if they win, no one will say anything, because you should be beating them sides. So it is a bit of a banana skin. So hopefully we'll get for unscathed, and it will give some players that have just come back from injury a little bit more time on the pitch. And hopefully that should help us in our league rather than hinder us, which I think they really do need to get match fit, because, like I say, a lot of them have hardly played.
Yeah, well, let's give the man himself a chance to answer those critics, although obviously he spoke beforehand. If we had a direct line to him, I'm sure that'd be a very good section to the show every week. But yeah, let's hear from Paunovic. He spoke to the club immediately after the Derby game, and then we'll go into the mailbag.
Comprehensible drop in the last 30 minutes, given the situation and circumstances with COVID, that we basically could work half week to some extent, because it's still a lot of guys coming back and recovering from it. So fitness-wise, we in the last 30 minutes, I think we couldn't cope with the situation. Although, I think what changed the game is the first goal. After conceding that goal, we couldn't recompose. We couldn't get back on a track. We couldn't get on the ball. We were, I would say, a little bit too naive also, thinking that we have time, or actually that we can manage the time properly. With the result 2-1 at home, we have to do much better, especially in the last minutes managing the game. I think we weren't good. The reason why we also had two goals advantage is because we did very well. We did in the first half fantastic job. First 15 minutes of the second half, we executed our game plan fantastically, and I think the guys gave their best. You can't ask more after, as I said, some of the guys didn't have a game in more than a month. Those who were struck by the injury and the and COVID, they obviously needed, or they suffered more. So their physical output today was conditioned, and you have to also praise them for giving their best, but not happy about the result, not happy about how we dropped these 2 points.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
Few questions this week. As always, you can get in touch via the Twitter, the Facebook and thetilehurstend@gmail.com. A few of you have got in touch this week for the mailbag. Let's start with Jack Killick, who says, what can possibly be the reason for Paunovic's tactic of getting us to sit back so early in games when we're leading? should the players also take more responsibility and press higher up the pitch? I was thinking about this one. We didn't really let many leads slip last year, did we? Typically, over the last couple of seasons, Reading has been a team that if Reading score early, then they win. If they concede early, they lose. And that's been it. But this year, it has changed a little bit. And I do wonder, is it down to the lack of subs or something like that? Is it out of Panovich's control? Or is it just the manager, as we were talking about earlier, being unable to keep the ball? Do we think that this is a situation that's going to change if we get the players back that are currently injured?
Yeah, I think so. Again, I say this every time on it. Without Joe, you've got half a side. Because if he plays and he plays well, he's such a great outlet that you can get everyone up the pitch. Do you know what I mean? I know Carroll's good at flicking the ball on and winning it in the air, but he's not as good technically, and he's not so much of a threat over the top that Joe is. Even Mate, to be fair, it gives you someone to mark. There's things that upset me about Reading anyhow defending. It's like if you watch Reading defend a corner, they bring every single player back. Now, all that does is encourage the other team to push their defenders further forward up the pitch. It's a pointless tactic as far as I'm concerned. I think if you've got players on the pitch, especially when a Rooney or someone like that comes on, anyone, just put someone up front, just so two or three players have to mark them and give yourself some sort of outlet. Because all you really do is encouraging teams to attack you. And if you look at Reading's stats throughout the year, the amount of shots on goal that they're conceding, especially away from home, is flabbergasting. I mean, you've got teams having between 20 and 30 shots at us. And we scrape wins in these games, unbelievably. But if you look through all the stats of this year, especially away from home, the amount of shots Reading concede at goal, it's no wonder they don't pick up many wins, because you can't keep conceding 20 shots on target and not expect to get beat. It's clearly a tactic. As why is it happening? Do you know what I mean? It's just there's something that's not correct about defending. I don't like zonal marking. We've discussed that before. I think there's lots of things that Reading could tweak that would make them a better side, or at least a more threatening side to go and win matches, rather than just stay in them, which is what we seem to be trying to do a lot of the time.
Yeah, you're bang on. 15.9 shots we concede per game. That goes up to 19.5 away from home, both of which are the worst in the league. And unsurprisingly, the teams that don't concede many shots per game, Bournemouth, Fulham, West Brom, are the best teams in the league. So it's not rocket science, is it?
No, it's not rocket science. Like I say, I think, again, if you take yesterday's game in isolation of the problem, was we couldn't, when we had opportunities to break, we couldn't break. We couldn't get out quick enough to be able to threaten them. And when we did, we just made poor decisions. I think there was one with Aziz when he tried a header from sort of 12 yards out on the corner when all he needs to do is head it back. It's just poor decision making. I think Laurent come out with the ball a couple of times. Rather than release it, kept hold of it too long. Swift kept hold of it too long or got caught on the ball. You need players that can hold the ball better and move it quicker. And that just didn't happen on yesterday. And it's not happened for quite a few games, especially away from home. And you've already touched on it. Like I said, they can see far too many shots on goal. And if you're going to do that, you're going to get beat. And it's not rocket science.
Yeah, Matt Williams then for the next question. Say best case scenario happens. We extend Carroll and Lucas Shaw returns this month. How do you see our striking setup going forward? I'm not entirely sure this is as big an issue as we might think it is, because I do honestly think the chances of both players being fit and in decent form at the same time is quite low. If Zhao is going to play alongside Carroll, you probably could do a 4-4-2. You could very easily do a case of just bringing them off the bench or bringing Carroll off the bench late on, because we are going to be playing a lot of games between now and the end of the season. We're going to be playing a lot of Saturday, Tuesday. So really, I think you can probably kind of rotate them around each other a little bit. And even so, they are kind of fundamentally different players, because both like the ball into their feet, both can, hold off defenders and such. But I'm sure that there's a way you can, Zhao, as you said, a bit more technical, maybe put the ball up to Carroll and then he feeds Zhao. Or, there's both are really good strikers at this level. So I think that you definitely can make it work.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't want to defend against them if I was a championship defender, either of them. Like I say, if you can get Joe back and he's at 90%, he's still going to be better than most. I'm not pinning all our hopes on him, because like you say, it's going to take him a little while to get match fit, and he probably won't be at his best till probably March time, even if he comes back soon. But he gives Reading a different level together. I think he's such a good player that I know his form dipped sort of back end of last year, but he's so good. He's such a threat that he automatically gets you further up the pitch, and that's what we need, because we haven't got that at the moment, I don't think.
And also imagine putting balls into the box with Carroll and Zhao in the middle. Like, if the ball lands to one of them, you've got a real good chance of scoring, haven't you?
Well, from crosses alone, you've got Dan, you've got Holmes, you've got Carroll, you know, you have Zhao. If Mate was black, you've got Mate. You've got that. If you're struggling with that, if that side ever gets together, which is unlikely, if you're struggling to win games in the Championship with them players attacking balls, then you're doing something really badly wrong.
Yeah, I won't disagree with that. Brian has tweeted us in, said, if Southwood's hands were an inch closer together, we're calling this an unconvincing win, but an impressive one after an enforced 3 weeks off. We've had no consistency and really no hope in terms of team selection. 90% of the squad that played today might not even be on the team in 6 months. Three starters might not be on the team within 1 month. We started a 17-year-old, subbed on someone who was 17 4 days ago, and played someone for a half who hadn't been in the team for 18 months. For all of Paunovic's flaws, we'd have to appoint an actual magician to do much better than he has, which I think is a relatively pretty fair point, you know, taking all that in. Ultimately, I mean, that is the question I still have is, where do you find said magician to lead this team at the moment? I mean, as we kind of touched on it earlier, this idea that maybe no one wants to come to Reading, or no one of, you know, significantly better managerial skills than Paunovic comes to Reading. Is that something that you agree with? Is that a belief you hold? Or do you think that actually, you know, Reading are still a pretty decent prospect for a lot of managers out there?
Again, they're probably right in saying that, because it's so uncertain next year. If you look at the squad, I think probably 12, 13 of them are out of contract. Who knows if we're going to keep hold of any of them? It's looking like they probably won't. But Reading seem to, like, every year, they seem to sort of pull something out of the fire, don't they? And something turns up, like, you get players like Carroll and Drinkwater and Baba Rachman and players like that turn up. You think, well, where they got them from? So you never know, really, what's going to happen, because Reading seem to sort of have the sort of things going on that we don't know too much about. And they've got good players there now. The chances are we're going to lose Swift, we know that. But if you knew what was going to happen next year, it's still a good prospect, because it's a good Championship side, but we've got no idea. So the person who wrote in is probably right. It's not a great job to take at the moment, is it, knowing that there's so much uncertainty about the club, unfortunately.
Well, this leads into the final question of the mailbag. Luke RFC saying, I'll paraphrase this, why are we so bad? And Arthur saying, why do I still support this club? With a couple of laughing faces. That this is the optimistic side then. Let's finish on a bit more of a positive note, is that why do we still support this club? Well, you know, for the obvious reasons, but the glory aspect, which isn't something we tend to focus on or get the chance to focus on too much at Reading, when do we think the good times are, you know, potentially going to come back, rather than saying definitely, potentially? I mean, if Reading stay up this season, maybe keep a couple of players, or at least get the EFL off their back, there isn't, you know, building a squad that can compete in the Championship, you can do it quite quickly. It isn't something that necessarily needs 5-6 years in the future. You know, it's not like teams like Blackburn have obviously come through a lot of time spent together and everything. But then you look at teams like Fulham, and they've barely met each other before the season started. And because they're well invested in, they do okay. Is there a chance that Reading, looking for the next 18, 24 months, staying in the Championship, can eventually, you know, become a force relatively quickly?
Listen, the great thing about Championship football is it's so difficult to predict, whether that be the league, whether that be the results, whether it be what happened next year. You can't never say, can you? You can never say never. And it wasn't that long ago, we was only sort of 2 points off the playoffs, and then we had a bad run and sort of disappeared down the league and had 6 points taken off us. So it could have been so much better. Looking at the squad on paper, you probably think there should be a top six side, yet we find ourselves fourth and bottom due to injuries and other issues that we've had around the club this year. When could the good times return? The answer is any time. But it's easier to have bad times than it is to have good. You need a little bit of luck, and I think we see that when we had players like Doyle and Long all turn up at the same time, and a couple of journeymen. And all of a sudden, we thought we had nothing, no money, and a poor squad. But it turns out we had a lot of rough diamonds that flourished that year, and we had a brilliant season, or two or three seasons. So you really never know. It's always the same. It's all about them players on the pitch. If you can get them working, if you can find a few rough diamonds here and there, you can have a great season. And that is basically where we are at the moment. Sort of, it's a bit of hitting hope, I suppose, in many ways.
Well, that's the Championship, isn't it? And you look at the teams like QPR, I'd say a pretty well-run club these days. They're fifth. Huddersfield have been awful for years and they're sixth. Middlesbrough have had to sack their manager this year. They're seventh. Stoke, eighth. Forest, ninth, have both arguably been pretty badly run over the last few years. And Coventry have just come from nowhere. They're tenth. So it really is a situation that you don't need all of the stars to align to be good in the Championship, do you? You just need a few things to go right, and as you say, a bit of luck, a bit of momentum, and anything can happen.
Ironically, Forest have been poor at the start of the season. They were dreadful, and then all of a sudden they were on the brink of the playoffs. So it just goes to show you, it doesn't take long to get a Championship side together to get promoted. I think the infrastructure needs to be a little bit more in place to continue that for a number of years.
Definitely. Well, talk about infrastructure, let's go into the news bites now. See what's been going on around the club this these past few weeks, in fact, and see when the other age categories and other teams around the club are going to be playing in the next few days.
Stay tuned for all the latest from around the Medeski Stadium and the Championship with News Bites.
So the COVID situation certainly hit some of the other teams. The Reading FC women team had their Man City game postponed that was meant to end 2021. Their next in action, 2 p.m. Saturday, January the 9th. At the Select Car Leasing. They've had four wins and a draw in their last five games, so having started the season quite badly, they're now up in a pretty decent position. Under-23s, January the 10th away to Sunderland is their next game. They're currently 11th in the 14-team Premier League 2 Division 2. And the under-18s have a FA Youth Cup fourth round tie at home to Man United on January the 13th. Kind of waiting to see exactly what the situation for that is. In case you might be able to watch it or something like that, having overcome Bromley in the last round, so a pretty big tie, also a very difficult one for the under-18s next up. Rearranged fixtures, those three games we've lost are now all in the book. Reading will take on Fulham on January the 11th, Tuesday night, I believe, at home. Then we've got Luton at home on the 19th, that's the Wednesday night, and Peterborough away is now February the 15th. That's a Tuesday night game as well. Obviously, all the ticket details and everything, refunds, etc., are available. The Luton game, it is worth noting, for anyone who bought Luton at home tickets previously, they're not applying for the new Luton game because they now apply to Coventry at home on the February the 12th because that is our official 150th anniversary game. With all the bells and whistles, Westy. What were the bells and whistles again? I think we had the blasters with the shirts coming out. What else did we have planned for the 150th game?
I've got no idea, but I was looking forward to it. I must admit, it's a shame it got cancelled. I think it was more fitting to play Luton than it was anybody else, just due to our previous fixture history with them. So it was a shame it wasn't going to be them now. Maybe they'll bring back that helicopter they brought down for the West Ham game. That was quite fun.
Or maybe we've had people on zip wires flying with the football and stuff like that, haven't we? Santa Claus has done that before, hasn't he?
We've alluded to. That's quite good, that was. I know Mr. Pardew really enjoyed that. He didn't say a word about it after the game.
Yeah, maybe we're like, and people like James Arp and Linvoy Primus can give the fans a wave. Hopefully they're still available on the 12th as well. In terms of transfers, there's not obviously been much going on in terms of incomings because Reading aren't really going to be signing many players over the next few weeks until, unless anyone leaves, basically. Obviously, Andy Carroll, his contract runs out on the 15th, I think it is, mid-January at some point. Paunovic has confirmed he's eligible to play against Kidderminster. And he said, I quote, "We don't think it'll be his last game. We're in talks with his agent. We hope it will be fine." I can't really imagine him saying anything else. So I suppose maybe it isn't really a sign of anything changing. But at the same point, Andy Carroll probably hasn't done enough over the last month to earn a contract with, you know, Newcastle or West Ham or someone. John Swift's been linked to West Ham, actually, speaking of which. Paunovic has already discussed the idea of bringing in or the club scouting replacements for January exits. So it does look likely the sun will go. Nottingham Forest are supposedly back in for Tom Holmes. Really, Westy, it's been not a very fun transfer period for the last few years being a Reading fan, because often you're looking in these situations, who are we going to sign? Who are we going to improve the team with? Again, it's a case of just having to sit and wait. as it was in the summer. Maybe we'll get a couple over the line, a couple loans or something later in the month, but really just looks like it's going to be a case of seeing who we hold on to and then going from there.
Yeah, I don't, can't see anyone coming in, to be honest with you. I'd be surprised if anyone's in. I think the best we can hope for is a number of our first team players come back from injury, and that'd be a boost to the side enough when it. I think they hold on to pretty much everyone. The only one that might be tempted to get rid of is Swift, just because they probably might get 1.5 or 2 million for him. Holmes, for 750,000, it's not worth releasing him. Hopefully he's going to stay, being a local lad. But who could blame him? I've said this before, who could blame him if they do leave, because I'm sure there's more money available to him other places, unless Reading, again, can pull some out of the bag. I don't expect anyone to leave during transfer window, but I also don't expect anyone to come in. So I think we've have to deal with what we got for now.
Yeah, and it will feel like a new signing if, you know, Renamota, Zhao, Mate are all suddenly back in the 11. Certainly will feel like a big boost. And yeah, you do see a few Championship clubs have already made loan moves and stuff like that. But really, I mean, there's no particular one position I think we need strengthening. Maybe fullback with Yeardom and Rahman going away for the Africa Cup of Nations this week. But yeah, ultimately, like, this is just the reality of it. And I agree, there's no one I'd sell unless stupid money came in. What I hope is that we don't sell someone on deadline day and don't have a chance to potentially bring in a replacement, if that is an option. But I mean, that's a discussion for another day. We'll obviously know a bit more about that in a few weeks' time.
Mark, is Rafael, the goalkeeper. I think they might, if someone was to offer for him to take him off our hands, I think they might let him go. Maybe Puskas, depending on if Jal's going to be fit. But I just don't see where it benefits us sort of getting rid of anyone. Unless there's ridiculous money offered, then I think they would have to let them go. But again, like I said, if you can get a Jarry, a Rinamoto, players that are back fit, the squad's big enough. It's just unfortunately it hasn't been fit enough for quite a number of weeks or months.
Yeah, and I suppose on Rafael, there is almost very little harm in letting him go. Southwood argued, made a couple errors recently, still probably not enough to drop him. It depends ultimately in terms of players like Araruna is supposedly available to leave and stuff. It really depends as to what the club will gain from not having them available for the next 6 months in terms of what the wages, you know, if Araruna leaves and gives us 50 grand worth of wages back, is that really much point, or like 200 grand, you know? It really depends on what the club sees as the balance between saving money over the next 6 months when we probably can't do anything anyway, and obviously, you know, keeping the player in the team and seeing what they can do for us. But let's get on into big match preview then. It's Kidderminster in the cup, and as you say, it's the big old banana skin.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
I was quite looking forward to us drawing Kidderminster in the cup. I knew I wasn't going to be able to go because I'm away that weekend, but I was at least hoping that it'd be on TV, and I was at least hoping that Reading maybe be in a bit of form for it. But alas, I don't know, I was really dampened by the fact that this is a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday, meaning it is impossible as far as I'm aware to watch it in the UK. Reading fans, you know, will be there and we'll sell it out. The home fans will obviously be really up for it and sell it out, but I don't know, my excitement for this one has dampened a little bit, and I was really hoping that, you know, this is a classic FA Cup away game. I can't think of the last time we went to a non-league team. We've had teams like Stevenage and Crawley over the years, but what sort of ties does this remind you of over the years for the FA Cup?
I'll tell you what, I went to a Reading FA Cup. I don't know if it's, what round was it? It might have been first round, to be honest with you. And they played, this is a while, going way back here, probably before your time, Mark. It was Slough away, and Reading were 3-1 up with about 5 minutes left or 7 minutes left. It ended up being 3-3, and that's what it reminds me of. That sort of game where you should win it, and they give everything they've got and play out of their skins and get some out of the game. We won the replay, but it was one of those games where you was ready to go home thinking, oh, this is done and dusted, but out of nowhere they scored two really late goals and ended up being 3-3, and it was a good old fashioned FA Cup game, you know, the sort of games you love about the FA Cup. And I love the FA Cup, always have done. I think it's great, especially when you get these sort of sides you would usually play. I think it's good for everybody. I think they're probably more disappointed they got Reading than we are about getting them, to be honest. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, that's the thing, is that ultimately if Kidderminster probably get West Brom or something, it probably is on TV and everything like that. I think November 1991, Google tells me, is that Slough game.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, which sounds about right. And yeah, I think for those going, it'll be a really good trip, because I remember us going to Torquay in the League Cup a few years ago and stuff like that, and they are good fun. Even that Crawley game I mentioned, which we discovered Hope Ackman in, was a really good game. And it is a good atmosphere in those sort of grounds, and everyone's really up for it. I do, in terms of the result, I'm pretty confident we'll get it over the line. I should imagine we'll play a full-strength team. Maybe we'll see players like Camara get a run out, maybe Stickland or someone like that. But I just can't imagine Paunovic going there and playing a team of under-18s, because what will it do for the players who, as you say, they've not really played very often recently. So I don't understand why you would rest someone like Halilovic, for example.
No, again, I agree with you. I think you even if you... Personally, what I would do if I was a manager, not necessarily going to happen, but if I was, I would start strong and then bring some of the younger players on with sort of 25 minutes to go, 20 minutes to go. I would try and win the game early and then start resting players if that's what you really want to do. I think it'd be telling if Carroll is even on the bench in this game that he might be staying, because I'm sure if he was going elsewhere, they wouldn't want to cut time. So it'd be interesting to see what he does with Carroll. If Carroll's not on the bench, at least on Saturday, I'll be concerned that he won't be able much longer. So we'll see. Like I said, I think start strong and try and win the game early. Sort of break their will in the first half or the first hour, and then you can start bringing players on. Because Clark probably needs 20 minutes, half hour. He's not played too much, has he? And it'd be nice to see him get a run out again after his Birmingham exploits. Just start strong. Aruna needs to get some game time. And I know you spoke about Aruna just a minute ago, but I thought he'd done all right when he came on. He was up against a quick winger, and that showed in and out. But he did get in good positions. He did make good blocks at good times. So like to see him play really as well. And just try and win the game early. That's what I need to do, and get it over the line nice and early, and then get the youngsters on later on if that's what you really want to do with your side.
Yeah, I guess from a Reading perspective, it needs to be as unentertaining as possible for the neutral and really take the drama out of it. Any Reading team, even an under-18 team, should be able to get over the line, but you really wouldn't want to trust a bunch of kids against what is ultimately going to be a bunch of men in the Kidderminster team, who are obviously, you know, hardened, used to the kind of rough and tumble of the National League North and everything like that. So really, for... I would set up the team. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd set up the team strong. I do think that Reading should be able to get it over the line. I'd probably say, if I was to predict, probably say a 3-1 or 3-0 or something like that. It should be a pretty calm game in terms of predictions. What do you think this could end up being?
I think it'd be like a 1-0 nerve jangler, to be honest with you, but we'll see. I hope you're right and I'm not.
There is that potential. I suppose in a way, if you're taking our support for Reading out of it, if any game is going to be an upset, this is the sort of one you would go for, isn't it? A team like Kidderminster are quite low down, Reading not on the best of form, uncertainty, injuries, COVID, all the rest of it, might be the one you go for. In terms of the prediction league, quick update on that before we go. Myself, Adam and Ben all clocked a point for the 1-1 against Derby. Westy, you're still top, 21 points. Ollie on 18, Adam 17, bit of a drop for Handbags 10, Ben 9, myself 8, Sim 7. So you're doing all right. So maybe 1-0 nerve jangler is where we should be heading for this game.
Yeah, I wasn't too far off on yesterday as well. I said 2-1 defeat, didn't I? So well, I was not far off.
No, not at all. And I think ultimately, as I say, for those going to the Kidderminster game, definitely a good chance to make some noise and hopefully have a good entertaining game behind us. Really, I mean, it could turn out to be the deciding point of the season. If Reading lose this game, it could really turn out to be that that kind of moment that Paunovic maybe loses the team or something like that. We've still got injuries, we've still got players out, we've still got, you know, Yeardon and Rahman going off to the F Cup Nations, as I say. Lots to think about for the manager. Maybe quite a straightforward team selection does him some favours and does us some favours in that regard. And then we've got Fulham on the 11th, as I say. We'll be back before then, though. However, we'll be back after the Kidderminster game to review everything that goes on in the West Midlands. And Westy, always a pleasure to have you on, mate.
It's always a pleasure to be on, Mark. Thank you.
And as I say, we'll be back in just about a week's time. What an unusual Christmas period. It's been devoid of Reading football, but we'll be back playing on Saturday in the FA Cup third round, hoping to bounce back from that draw against Derby, hoping to once again dispel any sense that this team is spiralling out of control. Let's hope we get a nice clinical performance on Saturday. Thank you for listening.
And come on, you ass.
You smile, funny how the crumbs always